Our government.
Healthcare.
Your government.
The economy.
Bailout.
Global financial recession.
Transportation.
Agenda.
Agenda.
The work that needs to be done.
What's going on?
Good morning, everybody. It's time for The Agenda. What are the stories that are going to set the tone for this week? Lots to talk about. And with us, of course, Marcus Mabry, international business editor for The New York Times, right here in the studio. And from Moscow, where Barack Obama is beginning this morning a visit to Moscow and a summit with President Medvedev and even a conversation with Prime Minister Vladimir Putin, is Jonathan Marcus, BBC diplomatic correspondent. Jonathan, good morning to you.
Yes, good morning.
So, first of all, let's talk about what's likely to happen really in the next few hours. What is on tap today in Moscow? And is the bar high? Is Obama being tested really in these very first meetings with the leadership in Russia?
I think this is a huge test for the president's foreign policy. This is the first. He's obviously met his Russian counterpart briefly once before in London, but this is the first major summit meeting of the presidency. And it's interesting because the newspapers here, commentators here, are all really being rather cautious, setting rather low expectations of what's going to come out of the summit. The president has arrived. He'll be laying a wreath at the tomb of the unknown soldier. He'll be then going for meetings with his counterpart, Dmitry Medvedev, and then, of course, tomorrow he'll meet with the former president, currently Prime Minister Vladimir Putin, who many see as still the guiding hand, certainly behind defense and foreign and strategic policy. Two things we're expecting concrete from this summit. One is a draft agreement on where the arms control negotiations have got to and where they need to get to by the end of the year when the START treaty expires. We think that's pretty well in the bag, we're not sure. Also, importantly, an agreement from the Russians to allow US troops and military supplies to fly through Russian airspace to Afghanistan. So two concrete things there. And obviously, President Obama will be hoping that that can provide the platform or the basis from which to build a much more substantive and positive relationship between the United States and Russia.
Marcus Mabry here in New York. I can't imagine that Barack Obama is going to come back from Moscow hailing the restart of the START treaty as some sort of political platform to rouse American support. He's got to be taking a whole different approach here.
Well, it's going to be interesting because, of course, John, this is a week of international travel where this Russian trip is actually, by the end of the week, going to seem like a distant memory to most of your listeners because he's going to go from here to the G8 summit in Italy where you're going to have global warming on the agenda. That's going to be a huge goal. He'll actually be chairing a global warming meeting, and then he's off to Africa.
All right, listen to what former Ambassador to the United Nations John Bolton said about the very low expectations in his view of this particular meeting between Obama and the Russians.
Non-proliferation is a critical goal. Reducing America's nuclear arsenal will have zero impact on the mullahs in Tehran and their quest for deliverable nuclear weapons. And if it's possible to have less than a zero impact, that's the impact it will have on Pyongyang.
Of course, former Bush administration official John Bolton. Is there anything to that there? And certainly we've seen the Obama administration focusing on regional issues, that this meeting in Moscow is more about influencing Iran and possibly the situation in Afghanistan, where there's a big offensive going on right now, Marcus.
Well, those are absolutely true. Those regional issues are key, and I think that's perhaps what former Ambassador Bolton was referring to. But by the same token, I think he also overstates the case. The nuclear posture of these two nations, who are still the two largest nuclear armed countries in the world, is still crucially important. Not in the short term, ironically enough, but in the long term, very important. So he actually overstated the lack of importance here. But yes, those regional issues and Russian cooperation, particularly as regards Iran, will be crucially important as well.
Jonathan Marcus, what do you think of what Ambassador Bolton was saying there? Less than zero or zero impact on Iran and North Korea, whatever goes on in Moscow today?
I think that probably is true in the narrow sense. I think, though, clearly in terms of bolstering the non-proliferation regime, ensuring that it continues into the future, and as many analysts say, it needs to be strengthened, I think to do that part of the answer is for the US and Russia to show that they are serious about further nuclear cuts themselves. So I think there is an important sort of incidental impact. I think the wider problem with this summit is that you have a meeting essentially of two very different powers. The Russians in the run-up to this summit have been arguing very strongly that this is the moment to show that they are the equals of the United States, regaining lost pride and so on. I think it's clear to everyone that when Mr. Obama walks into the same room as Mr. Medvedev, you do not have representatives from two countries who really are at parity. The United States, for all the problems of recent months in the financial sector, the problems in Afghanistan and Iraq, is still the only remaining superpower. For the Russians, it's important to talk about arms control because that's the one area where they can sit at the table with the Americans as equals. But, you know, it's going to be hard to see what the Russians are really going to be willing to give to the United States on crucial things like bringing pressure to bear on Iran and so on. I think the Americans will bank what they can from this summit, but I think they'll be willing to walk away from the relationship with Russia to reduce the importance of the relationship with Russia if Moscow isn't going to be sufficiently forthcoming.
Well, it's fairly clear that the president isn't going to hear remarks like this from anybody he speaks with in Moscow today.
He's my mentor, he's my father in spirit, and he's my everything. I love him, and I love him so much, and I'll continue to love him.
That's Adua from Poma, who's a Ghanaian citizen, speaking about the election of Barack Obama back in November. When the president travels to Ghana this week, there will be an important, and you've already sort of alluded to it, emotional moment for both the president and for the entire continent of Africa.
Oh, I think so. This is going to be, you know, extraordinary. And there's ironically no kind of formal, mass, you know, speech planned for the Ghana trip.
And he's already been to Africa. He was in Cairo. Cairo is in Africa.
Yes, it is. It's not sub-Saharan Africa. And I think in this case, I think it will make a difference. I usually am very much for keeping Egypt in Africa, which is where it is located geographically.
Right.
But in this case, I think it's going to make a great difference that you have the sun of a Kenyan who is going to be, you know,
right,
President of the United States, who's going to be speaking in Africa. I think it's going to be a real salve for the president. I think he's going to need it by the end of the week.
Right.
I think you're going to see lots of images from the G8 summit, which is normally, of course, the eight largest industrial economies in the world. Now you might call them the eight most hobbled, you know, economies in the world.
So meeting in seclusion in Italy,
exactly,
right, where Berlusconi is in a bunker of his own.
Exactly, in L'Aquila, which is a, you know, former, very recently, an earthquake site, and that is a fitting symbolism probably for the global economy.
Well, the global economy will also be watching General Motors, which may take another step towards emerging from bankruptcy with the agreement that came overnight. It can be appealed. We shall see. As far as the G8 summit is concerned, again, Jonathan, I'm sure you have something to say about that, but I have to go out with both of you. Will we be talking about Sarah Palin by the end of the week, Marcus Mabry?
I think we will continue to talk about Sarah Palin by the end of the week. Michael Jackson will eclipse her completely on Tuesday, when his funeral becomes a global news event again. He takes over the news programs. However, by the end of the week, we'll probably have some more indication about what her plans are. And I think they are actually to gather chits and pursue a run for the presidency later.
Jonathan, I don't want to pull you out of your expertise, but in the tabs in London, as you're away in Moscow, what's the headline going to be? Michael Jackson or Sarah Palin?
Certainly Michael Jackson, but amongst the chattering classes, I think there will be a certain amount of grim horror at the thought of the former Alaska governor, present governor, moving perhaps further into American politics. If President Obama is the face of America that Europe feels
all
very comfortable with, she is very much the face that they do not feel
comfortable. I'll give you that one. Jonathan Marcus covers pop culture for us when he's not being the BBC's diplomatic correspondent. Marcus Mabry, international business editor for The New York Times. There's your agenda, folks, and this is The Takeaway.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.